have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to find Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to talk this morning about Joseph's story. Melissa was just talking about it with the children, how all the signs around us are showing us that Christmas is upon us. Although I think it happened earlier this year. We were with, Keisa and I were with our two boys and Justin's wife Kaylee last week for Thanksgiving, and even Justin, our oldest, who they're in their first house, so having to decorate their own house for the first time. He said, Dad, I think people are setting up Christmas earlier this year than they ever have before. I think that's because he feels pressure to get it done like all the rest of us. And I know in our neighborhood on November 1st, there were people who already had their lights up and their trees decorated and all those kind of things. So whether you are one who already has everything up and done and finished as far as decorations, or whether you're waiting till the last minute to decorate, all of it's good. It's all about the season and the fun of the season. This morning I want us to look at Joseph. We're going to do that as we look at the Christmas story, the Christmas story, over the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about Joseph today. We're going to talk about Mary next week, and then the wise men after that, and then we're going to, of course, going to talk about baby Jesus, because we want to make sure that no matter what the decorations are, no matter what the signs are, no matter what the festivities or celebrations are that we're involved in or not involved in, that are all centered around the season, we want to make sure that we are centering ourselves on the fact that this season is really about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It's really that simple, but I think sometimes we lose sight of that. Hopefully, we as a church family do not lose sight of that. But to that end, I want us to look this morning at Joseph. So look with me in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at the story of Joseph as Jesus' earthly father, the man that God chose to raise his son in this life. Now, we've all heard the story. We've all maybe even read the story recently, but I want to challenge you this morning to think with me just simply about Joseph and what may have been going on with him in this story. So join me in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. God's word says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, if you think about it with me, this is the story of the birth of the Savior of the world. There is no other version. There is no other understanding of it. It's a simple yet humble coming of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But God took care of every single detail. He chose every single person to be involved. He laid out every single scenario and made everything come together perfectly. Not only did he do that with the situation itself, the story itself, but he said all of these things, some of them big details, many of them small details, as many as 700 and 800 years before Jesus would even come to the earth. That's how detailed this story is and how much Jesus was thought of by the Father in preparing him to come. This is the story of the Savior of the world. So notice with me in verse 18, that this says, in verse 18, this is the birth of Jesus Christ. There isn't another version. Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. That means more than our engagement. Some of you have heard my teaching on marriage, especially in Jesus' culture of the day, or Mary and Joseph culture of the day. The culture and the custom of the day was that when Joseph was probably around 14, 15, maybe 16 years of age, that he would have been one who his parents would have arranged a marriage for with another, with a girl, with her parents. Mary herself was probably only 12, 13, or 14 years old. Now the movies that you and I watch, the pictures that we see, the depictions of this, we always see older people, but that is not and was not the custom of the day. Betrothed means more than just he got down on one knee and asked her to marry him. It wasn't about putting a ring on her finger and setting a wedding date. There was so much more to it. The dads would have made a commitment to one another that if either one, my son or your daughter, if they're not compatible to each other, if we haven't raised them up to be ready for this marriage, then you can put us fathers to death. This is a serious commitment that would have been made. Betrothal also means that they may have never even met each other. Now, they may have known of each other. They may have even been friends in some extent, but they have never spent time alone together, ever. If they ever spent time together, it would have been very clearly supervised even before this. That's the custom and the culture, even of Middle Eastern cultures today, some of you are familiar with. In America, that's foreign to us. It's different. But there was a commitment that had already been made between Joseph and Mary, not just the two of them who are choosing to be married, but also their families and usually even the rulers or the elders of the city that would have been in agreement with this. So it would be literally two communities coming together in marriage between Joseph and Mary. Before they've come together, the scriptures say in verse 18, that means they have not been alone together in one place. And she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, that betrothal period was also a time to prove purity amongst one another. That time of betrothal can last for a couple of months to a couple of years, depending on the two dads choosing to decide when these two should come together as one. But the arrangement has been made sometimes, in some cases, years earlier, that these two would come together and be married. So here she's found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now that's never happened before. What God is doing here is something new and something different, something completely changing the world. Notice what he says in verse 19 about Joseph. He calls Joseph, Matthew does, her husband, not her fiancé, not the one to whom she's been betrothed, not the one to whom she's engaged, or they may or may not get married, but Joseph is her husband. That commitment that was made between those fathers, even though there hasn't been a ceremony yet of communities coming together, or a festival of a ceremony or a reception taking place, they are still considered to be husband and wife. But I want you to notice this about Joseph in verse 19. Matthew says that he was a righteous man. He didn't get righteous the day that he was chosen to be Jesus' dad, but he was found to be righteous. That word righteous means he did what God required. He did it day in and day out. That means he was a teenager who was already following the Lord. He was somebody who was walking with the Lord and obeying the word of God. Does it mean he was perfect? No. Does it mean he was sinless? No. It means that he was doing what God required. He was living according to the word of God. He was living according to the law. And if he committed sin, then he dealt with it according to the law. There were sacrifices that had to be made. He is not somebody who needed to get right with God because God had a plan for him. He was already right with God when God came along and chooses him. Now, God chose him. We know God is sovereign. God knew what was going to happen before Joseph was even thought of by his parents. But Joseph didn't understand any of that. But if he's a righteous man, that tells us that he was already doing what was required day in and day out. He was already there. He didn't have to get prepared to be there. So he was also, Matthew says he was a man, not a boy, not a teenager. He calls him a man. If you are familiar with Jewish culture, there is a bar mitzvah. It's an occasion when the parents, usually the dad, says, "This, my son is ready to be called a man." Now they'll have a ceremony, but it's not just the ceremony that it's about. It's about the dad taking responsibility to say that his son is really an adult, around 13 years of age. So Joseph probably would have already had something like that, but it's not just about your dad saying that you're a man. For Matthew to describe him as a man means that he's living that. He's doing the right things. He's doing what God requires of him. Notice what it says about Joseph in verse 19. He did not want to disgrace Mary, but he desired to put her away secretly. According to the law, he could have had her put to death, because that child wasn't his. They hadn't been together. They had not come together. Matthew even says that. Joseph would have known whether they had come together or not as one. But he hadn't come together. So under the law, he could have had her put to death because she could have been convicted of adultery outside of the bonds of marriage. So he could have had her put to death. But being a righteous man, he says, "I just want to secretly put her away, not to cause any shame or disgrace to her." Notice that it's not about Joseph here. It is about Mary here and his respect to her. Even though he's just been blasted with this fact, it's not an idea, it's a fact that she is with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, he doesn't understand all of that that's taking place yet, but Matthew's telling us, looking back on what had taken place. So he didn't want to disgrace her. Part of being a righteous man, he wanted to take care of her. He was, remember, betrothed to her. In all senses of the word, they were married, they just didn't live together. But it was about to happen. Notice what happens in verse 20. But when he had considered this, so Joseph's trying to figure all this out in his head. Maybe he had talked to his parents about it. Maybe he had talked to his best friend. Maybe he had gone to the elders of the city and asked their opinion. While he's considering all of this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, verse 20 says, in a dream. Notice a couple of things about what this angel says to him. Number one, he calls him by name, Joseph. Not just any Joseph, but the son of David. You see, this Joseph was a Joseph who was of the line of the family tree of David. Remember that the prophecies say that the Messiah will come through the line of David, through the family tree of King David. Joseph fulfills that. He is the son of David. So the angel doesn't say, "Hey, you," and hey, I just came to find somebody who was in this neighborhood that would be available to get married, to marry. No, this is already something that's taking place, and this is a specific request of the angel. He speaks directly to Joseph, the son of David. The second thing he says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. He understands the circumstance. The angel, who's a messenger of God, only speaking what God would tell him to say, he understands more of the situation than Joseph understands at this point. But he's having a dream, and the angel is speaking to him, and he tells him, don't fear, but it's okay to go ahead and take Mary as your wife. Go ahead and have the marriage ceremony. Go ahead and have the celebration. Go ahead and bring the two communities together and have this celebration of the two of you becoming one, even though she's pregnant. Don't fear. Don't have her put to death. Don't have her put away by divorce. The third thing he says is that she is going to have a child, not just any child, but she's going to have God's son. The child is going to be a boy. Your wife is going to have a son. Now, there's no way that Joseph would have known this without the angel telling him. But the fourth thing he says is, I want you to name the boy, and I want you to name him Jesus. But notice what else he says in verse 21. He says, because it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now, remember that Joseph was already a righteous man. That means he was righteous according to the law. He was a Jew, so he knew the word of God. He had been raised from infancy on to not only know, but to live the word of God. That's what the Jews do. They live and know the word of God. He would have known that word backwards and forwards. So when he hears these things, it wouldn't just be, oh, my wife is going to have a son, but when he says to him, he will say that your son will save his people from their sins, then he would have understood that to mean the Messiah is coming. The Savior of the world is coming. God has chosen me to be the father of the Messiah that is to come. Now, Joseph doesn't have anything to do with the conception, but he is going to have to help raise that little boy and help raise him to be a man in the earthly sense. Now, he's God's son. God has control over that. We get that. But at the same time, God is choosing him. And Joseph would have understood in that moment that God is choosing him to be the earthly father of the Savior of the world because of his understanding of Scripture. Notice what else happens in verse 22. Matthew then speaks, and he's the editor here. He's the author who's telling us what is taking place. He says, now all of these things took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Matthew is declaring that what is happening here is the fulfillment of a promise that God gave us. Now, you heard Emery read it just a moment ago, but look with me at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There's a prophecy spoken here over 700 years before Jesus is born. 700 years before Jesus is born. Now, this is part of a prophecy to a king, but also you'll see that it is a direct promise of the Messiah that is to come. Look at what he says in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Over 700 years before Jesus comes, the prophet Isaiah speaks this promise that God gave him, that there will be a sign that the Lord will give, that a virgin will be with child. Not only will she bear a child, but she will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. If you look back with me at the end of verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1, you'll see that Matthew translates that for us, and he says that Emmanuel translated means God with us. The Son of God is coming in this miraculous way that a virgin named Mary will give birth to a son, and we will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He is God's son who has come to live amongst his people. So God is keeping his promise. God always keeps his promises in every detail. There's no variation, there's no shifting, there's no changing of circumstances because of the details of life. God keeps his word, every letter of it. Look with me at verse 24. This to me is amazing, what happens next. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Now, many of you had a dream last night, and none of you got up and did what that dream was. It probably wasn't an angel speaking to you. But still, even if you had had an angel speak to you, how many of us would have gotten up and done immediately what the angel told us to do? How many of us would not go and check with somebody else, our spouse or somebody that we trust, and ask them, what do you think of this? I had a dream, and I think the angels spoke to me, and this is what he said. What do you think? How many of us would have had this same dream that Joseph had had? And maybe Joseph was thinking, well, I've been thinking about this, so maybe I dreamed about it. He doesn't even hesitate, Matthew says. He arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took her as his wife. To me, that means there was some kind of celebration. There was some kind of ceremony that happened. Because before this, they're betrothed. We see it in verse 18. They're betrothed, but now, when all of this takes place, now he takes her as his wife. And they are together, yet they are not one in the intimacy. They are withholding that because of what Joseph has been told by the angel. Notice what he says in verse 25. He kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. Random? No. Specific. A son. And he called his name Jesus, just as the angel had told him to do. Joseph did what the Lord told him. His parents may have told him something different. His friends or the elders in his village may have told him something different. But he did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. Because remember what we read back in verse 19? Joseph was a righteous man before any of this took place. Does it mean he never talked to anybody else about what happened? Probably not. He probably told other people, but he did what the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, told him to do, every part of it. He probably was pressured in different ways, maybe even just within himself, but probably even family or friends, to not go through with it. But Joseph was already righteous before God told him the plan. When Kisa told me that she was pregnant for the first time, I remember those emotions. We had been talking about having a child. But then in that moment when she tells me that she's pregnant for the first time, then some of you men can relate to this, and you women can too. Then all of a sudden there's this flood of excitement. There's also this flood of fear of how are we going to raise a child? We have trouble taking care of ourselves. How are we going to take care of a child and raise him or her? How are we going to do all those? How are we going to financially afford it? How are we going to be able to take care of the details? Is Kisa still going to work? Or how are we going to make all of this work? You have all of that flood of emotions that come in the realization of what is happening. Think about Joseph in this moment. You think he had any of those emotions? I'm sure he did. I'm just a teenager and we're just getting married. I'm supposed to be enjoying my life with my wife and getting to know her. But now we're going to have a child, and it's not my child, but it's from the Lord, and an angel tells me to take her as my wife. You can imagine that his mind was going in 100 different directions, trying to grab a hold of it all. But remember, he was already righteous before the Lord told him what the plan was, because the plan had already been prepared beforehand. Joseph was just simply living his life for the Lord every day. That's what being righteous means. When God chose him to be the earthly father, not the eternal father, but the earthly father of the Savior of the world, he was already ready. He didn't have to get prepared. He was already ready. But he still was human. He still would have had the same emotions. How are we going to take care of this child? We got a census that's getting ready to come up that we'll talk about later. He's going to have to take her all the way to his hometown, and they're going to have to go do all that thing while she's about to give birth. He doesn't understand any of that. He's a teenage boy trying to figure it all out. But God had a plan, and God chose him, and he was ready when God chose him. The challenge for you and I is that he's not going to choose us to be the parents of the Savior of the world. That's already done, so you can check that off your list. You don't have to worry about that. But he will choose us to do other things for him. The challenge is, are we ready? If God asked you to do something big today, would you be ready? Or would you have to say, wait a minute, God, I got to get my life right before you? If he chooses you something that you consider to be small in his kingdom today, would you be ready? Or would you have to say, wait a minute, I got to get my house in order spiritually before I can go do what you're asking me to do? If we're already living rightly before him, then we are already ready to serve him. And Joseph was somebody who was already ready. In the magnitude of the situation, Joseph trusted God. And that should be a reminder to us that no matter what we're going through, we can trust God, because he can take care of anything and everything that concerns us as we serve him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this incredible story of Joseph. He's a central figure in this miraculous story of Jesus' birth. But did he understand it all? We don't think so. But he just did what you asked him to do. And Father, we don't learn much more about Joseph. He's around a little bit in Scripture, but not much. We hear a lot about his mother, Mary, but we don't hear a lot about Joseph. But thank you that when you were ready to pick him to be the Savior of the world's earthly father, he was ready. He was already ready. He didn't have to get ready. Father, help that be a reminder to us that we should be ready to serve you no matter what the circumstances are. We should live for you each and every day, so that when you pick us to do something or you nudge us to help you in some way and to be involved in your kingdom work, we're already there. We're already ready to go. Father, help us to also recognize that even in the midst of the chaos of life, You are always there, and we can always count on you, just like Joseph counted on you as he became the father of the Savior of the world, and he helped raise that boy. Thank you that he listened to you, and he followed you with all his heart. Even if the rest of the world told him not to, he did what you told him to do, and we are grateful to you for that. So, Father, help us to trust you with all of our challenges, all of our struggles, all of our issues. Help us trust you in every circumstance of life, knowing that you, as the same God who took care of Joseph, are the same God who can take care of us today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.